steep, knowing what fun it will be. Soon the starter will call me to the first tee.
Two down, two majors to go. Welcome to the Grow Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf. Let me waste no time in getting him in because we got so much to talk about. My man, Jay Randolph Jr., better known as the STL Golf Geek, and also manager of the Normandy Golf Course where Al Capone used to play. Man, you talk about a match made in heaven, Al Capone and Jay Randolph Jr. Welcome in, Jay.
Thank you, Bob. I know you had a wonderful week at the United States Open, the 117th edition. We're going to talk a lot about it today. There's plenty of summer of golf left, and you were on the call as somebody got their first major championship. Here's Bob's winning call for Brooks Koepka.
The walk that Brooks Koepka just enjoyed. Youngsters all around the world can only dream of being able to walk up the 18th hole knowing that you're going to win the U.S. Open. Brooks Koepka has approached the green. He's left about 30 feet for a birdie putt, but it doesn't matter. Koepka at 16 under par is going to tie the lowest score to par ever recorded in a U.S. Open. The other one was by Rory McIlroy. He did that at Congressional in Washington. 16 under par, the rounds for Brooks Koepka. Started out with a 67, cooled off a little bit with a 70 in round two, came back strong in round three with a 68, and when he needed it the most, he's 5 under par coming to 18. Now getting set for his birdie putt here at the final hole. It's coming to the cup. Just comes up a little bit short, but it's a tap-in for Brooks Koepka. He is our new champion at 16 under par, tying the all-time low record, and he'll share that record with none other than Rory McIlroy.
Nicely done, Bob.
Well, you know, it was a little bit anticlimactic, and we got a lot of dissecting to do on this show. I want to begin because I know you always have a keen perspective, and I'm sure it's probably different from my thoughts on the U.S. Open. But what did you think, Jay?
Well, Bob, you were there. I wasn't. Watching it as I did for the most part of all 4 days, it wasn't the U.S. Open that I was accustomed to. It wasn't obviously the U.S. Open that I've grown up with or grew up with, which has changed a little bit in the last 10 years, but not to the extent that we saw at Erin Hills. I think it was an interesting U.S. Open. I'm still very uncertain about Erin Hills. I give great credit to Brooks Koepka for the way he played. You know, you shoot a final round 67, what Justin Thomas did on Saturday. I'm left with, and I think the ratings showed it, they were not very strong, the second lowest U.S. Open ratings in TV history. I just felt like it wasn't a normal U.S. Open, and I think we'll get back on track in your backyard of Shinnecock Hills.
Well, we're certainly looking forward to that. Let's talk about the golf course. Maybe help explain a couple of things to our listeners out there. Coming in, all we heard that it was 7,800 yards, it was going to be a monster. When I got there and explored Erin Hills, Jay, what I found was most of the tees were elevated, so the fairways were down below, so they're playing downhill, yep. And then they're playing into 80-yard fairways that were fairly firm, so the ball rolled a considerable distance. So I didn't buy into the 7,800 yards. I mean, to me, it played like 7,200 yards or 7,000 yards. The thing that I want to bring up, and I thought about this, Jay, and you're the perfect guy to talk about this with. You know, I remember when Tiger started his assault on Augusta National. What was the theory? Well, we got to do things to this golf course to Tiger-proof it. What are we going to do? Oh, well, let's make it longer. You know, making golf courses longer, especially in the case of Erin Hills, Jay, where they made the fairways wider, you're making the golf course easier by making it longer if you're going to give them that wide runway to land the golf ball on. So I think shorter and more premium on shot making would serve a lot better to identify the best player in the world.
Couldn't agree more. Skip Bertmeier, who played in the 2011 U.S. Amateur at Erin Hills, told me that these guys will carry the ball far enough to get the benefit of, you said, as you said, Bob, the firm fairways and the slope of those fairways. And those guys, a lot of guys figured that out. So I think the theory of golf courses being longer, it making them tough, makes it tougher, is a misnomer. The other thing that stood out to me, and it keeps standing out, somebody hit 6-iron from 214, and the announcers were just like, that's normal. There were guys having 290-yard carries from the fairway with a 3-wood and having no problem doing it. So, you know, I think you're right. These guys are going to hit it as far as they need to. And I think the other thing that we talked about leading up to the championship, Bob, and you only saw really a couple of times, really more Sunday in the middle of the day, and a little bit Friday, was the wind. And, you know, we didn't have strong winds, which would have maybe changed things. I think the USGA will get back on track with the type of championship that we've come to expect.
Well, we certainly hope so. And we're going to listen to Brooks Koepka, what he had to say. But I want to run this for our listeners. Brooks Koepka never had more than a 7-iron as an approach shot into these greens. You know, that would be his third shot on par 5, second shots on par 4s, except one time he had to hit a 5-iron. Now, how are you identifying the best player in the world when all you're asking him to do is hit 7-irons as his approach shots? I mean, that just said to me something's amiss. And then my other pet peeve, Jay, and I want your feeling on this. The 18th hole played the easiest of any hole on the golf course on Sunday. It's the 72nd hole of a U.S. Open, and it plays the easiest of any hole on the golf course?
I'll go a little against the grain with you on this one, because I think their hope was, you know, looking at that leaderboard, you'd have 5 or 6 guys in the mix going to the 17th or 18th, and you might have some drama like we saw on Saturday when Thomas made the 3. So I know what you're saying as it relates to normally a lot of times, especially U.S. Open venues or even PGA Tour venues, 18th, like it is at Bay Hill, like it is at Wingfoot, Asheville, you know, usually you expect a little more. I just think that their hope was, especially when they started looking at the championship, that having 18 be a par 5 might bring eagle into it, might bring bogey into it. But it's certainly, again, another way in which this U.S. Open seemingly was so different than the ones we've come to know.
Well, let me just assert something in here, Jay. By disagreeing with me, I personally guarantee you that the amount of fan support you're going to get from the Grill Room listeners is skyrocketing. So don't worry about that, my friend. Let's give a listen to Koepka, our 2017 U.S. Open champion.
I played really solid from the moment we got here, you know, on Monday and all the way through till today. It was – ball striking was pretty solid. It had to be today, especially with the wind and – you know, with I got hot with the putter there for a little bit today and all week. So, you know, all around my game was pretty solid, and I couldn't be happier. The way my game's set up, I think I can win, you know, multiple times a year. I really do. And I think, you know, this is hopefully major number one, and there's many more to come.
I think Brooks's game was solid last week. Do you agree?
Yeah, I would say real solid, especially in the final round in the heat. Big stepping stone for him. I'd like to think, Bob, that he's maybe a multiple major guy, that maybe he'll have 3 or 4 before it's all said and done. Maybe we've seen something now with him winning that's going to propel him to another level. Time will tell. I kind of thought that way about Webb Simpson when he won at the Olympic Club, but he hasn't picked up another major. So, you know, it's nice to say, yeah, I'd like to get a couple more of these, but it's not easy to do.
And, of course, Brooks Koepka represents the seventh straight winner of a major, winning a major for the very first time. I mean, that's remarkably high. The last seven major winners were all first-time winners. Just pretty incredible. Somebody that I thought played really well, pound for pound, he certainly was the best player at Erin Hills. Only 5'7", 150 pounds. Played left-handed, trying to become the only left-hander ever to win a U.S. Open. Talking about Brian Harman, and here's what he had to say.
I have bites a little bit right now, but you know, Brooks played so well today. The conditions were so tough. I had a couple get away from me yesterday. I was playing so good and just missed a couple putts, and a couple get away from me today, but at the same time, I can't take anything away from how well he played.
You know, an interesting thing, Jay, Brian Harman plays like he's got a chip on his shoulder, but I'm saying that in a favorable way. I mean, I think that's not a bad way to play this game. And
well, and I was impressed with all 4 days for him, the whole body of work. I mean, no, he didn't make a move on Sunday, but a lot of people thought he might be going for 75 or 6 in that final round because of experience. So the experience that he gained here was shooting 72. In the final round, seeing what that experience was like, it probably is going to mean more PGA Tour wins. And the next time he gets in a major championship, he'll be more ready. Your man Hideki made a big move to try and get himself in this championship. When you look at, you know, his rounds of 74, 65 in round two, 71 in round three, and then the 66 to tie Harman. Tied for second. He did all he could do, just had a tough first day.
You know what amazed me, watching Hideki? You know, we've been talking about him on the Grill Room for quite a while now, and I came up with I think, an explanation of why he plays so well. He has the powerful legs of a Jack Nicklaus, combined with the tempo of Ernie Els, and to me, that's a lethal combination.
Yeah, he is one of those guys that tempo-wise, his swing builds itself to speed, and he does it without looking like he's trying to kill it. It just kind of, he gets it set and he fires. And, you know, again, as we talked about during his run earlier in the season, Bob, it's just a question of when, and it wouldn't surprise me if he became, I mean, he might become number 8 consecutive first-time winner at Royal Birkdale. Who knows with this kid's talent?
Somebody else that's going to have an excellent opportunity to play well at Erin Hills, he's from England, Tommy Fleetwood, had this to say.
I've never contended for a major before. So when you get to Saturday and Sunday, you've got to see how you react and how you feel. I felt, yesterday I played great. Today my game wasn't quite there, but still, you know, got it round in level par. I had to scrap a little bit for it, and it was a bit tougher today, but you know, I felt fine, felt comfortable. I enjoyed playing late on Saturday and Sunday, and you know, next time, whenever that comes, that I play well enough to get myself in contention, I know that I know that inside myself I feel fine, and I can whether I play well or not, that's a different story, but I feel fine.
Tommy Fleetwood, somebody it's probably going to have to be reckoned with. Awful lot of talent on display. Ricky Fowler, Jay, brilliant opening round, 65, you know, which was an incredible performance. And then for some strange reason, he's leading the U.S. Open after round one, shoots a 65, and declines to come into the media room, leaving a lot of people with a strange look on their face.
Well, I know he's extremely disappointed with the performance, especially on the final day. You know, after seeing Sergio get the monkey off his back, and I know it's a lot longer time, you know, there are people still wondering about Ricky. How good is this kid really? And, you know, disappointing to see some of his contemporaries like Koepka, and obviously with the 63 on Saturday for JT. I think this was a disappointment for Rory. For Ricky, I really felt like he kind of held it together, Bob, in the second round, and I thought he'd make a move on Sunday, but he came up without being able to do it.
Well, you mentioned the name JT. You're referring to Justin Thomas, brilliant 63 in that third round, as good a round of golf as you're going to ever see. Scottie Scheffler was the low amateur. Good performance by Scottie.
Just to remind you, the Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf, is proud to be entertaining the active men and women in the military, both at home and around the world, as part of the Armed Forces Radio Network. The Grill Room can also be heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, Talk Sport 2, TuneIn, Audio Boom, iTunes, and Spreaker.
Golfin, the innovative award-winning clubs of choice for parents eager to see their kids fall in love with golf. In fact, let's let Callum McPherson, founder and managing director of Golfin, explain how Golfin GFK clubs take the young golfer from beginner to winner.
Our clubs, our golf clubs, are designed and manufactured, as you know, Bob, to make the game easier for kids so that we build confidence and they have fun from the very, very beginning.
Visit golfin.com, that's golphin.com, to find out more and how to order your kids the gift of golf right now.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
You know, Jay, much was made about the rain altering the golf course. I had an opportunity to speak to Andy Ziegler, who owns the property, and money, trust me, is not an issue with Andy Ziegler. And I think his big regret was that he didn't put a sub-air system in there, which would have solidified the integrity of the putting surfaces. So, you know, lesson learned, sub-air would have really changed, you know, probably maybe even the outcome of that U.S. Open.
Now the tour, Bob, heads to the Travelers Championship, kind of another one of those decompressing tournaments after the stress of the U.S. Open. Russell Knox is defending. They got some strong players in the field, Rory McIlroy, Jim Furyk, Brian Harman, who we saw, and Justin Thomas.
Yeah, and some surprising news I was made aware of. Jim Furyk, first professional win at the Normandy Golf Club. So you got some rich history there. I'm only finding out about it as we go along, and I get the honor of working alongside of you here in the Grill Room. You're really at a fascinating place. All right, some breaking news that we have to get to. This just came into the Grill Room a couple of minutes ago. 25-year relationship, Jay, is over.
Yeah, Phil Mickelson and Jimmy Bones McKay, his caddy, are breaking up. You mentioned after 25 years, Phil's brother Tim will be on the bag the rest of the season. Tim caddied for Phil during the WGC Mexico Championship, and there's all kinds of stuff on the web, people thinking that the next caddy for John Rahm is going to be Bones.
Well, we'll have to wait and see. I'm thinking that Jim McKay may not even caddy anymore. He just had those recent knee operations. He certainly earned enough money over the last 25 years.
Well, Bob, we had a huge response to our pick the winner of the U.S. Open contest. Thanks to all those that entered for the unbelievable vertical groove drivers. There were 13 people that correctly picked Brooks Koepka by the deadline on noon Sunday. Their names have gone into a hat. Bob has the hat with him. And Bob, draw it out. Who's the lucky winner?
Let me move him around a little bit. Pick from the bottom. Bill Mitchell, a great listener of the Grill Room program. Congratulations, Mr. Mitchell. Two things are going to happen to your golf game now. You're going to hit it further. You're going to hit it straighter. Congratulations, and thanks, as Jay said, to everybody that entered the contest. Stay tuned to the Grill Room. We may have a surprise coming up in a couple of weeks with another opportunity to own a vertical groove driver.
Our fantastic producer, Janice, will be in touch with our winner. Let's take a little break, and when we return, we'll get a little deeper into Mickelson and McKay and the split. And we've got some news from the PGA Tour. We'll do it all when we return right here on The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland,
This old gym has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par 3 as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. The facility uses a unique dynamic pricing structure that golfers seem to love. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old school golf at its finest.
Welcome back to the Grill Room. Your table's ready.
Welcome back to the Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf. Jay Randolph Jr. You can find me on Twitter at STL Golf Geek, and Mr. Bob Bubka, who enjoyed the U.S. Open last week at Erin Hills. And Bob, the PGA Tour, the day after the U.S. Open ended, announcing that they have revised their anti-doping program policies. Now, this is big. A couple of changes. Number one, they will now test blood when necessary. Personal growth hormones can't be detected with only a urine test. So this is big. It'll begin with the 2017-2018 season. And Bob, a really big change, I think, especially with as tight-lipped as the tour has always been about different things. The results have never been made public, and now they will.
Well, you know, Jay, I agree. I mean, that second part, I like it, because all I'm hoping is that it'll be a little more of a deterrent for the players. And I'm not saying one single bit that there's a massive drug problem on the PGA Tour. I don't think so. But I think this disclosing it and being a little more transparent, I think, is the first real indication that things are a little bit different with Jay Monahan at the helm rather than Tim Fincham.
I think that's an excellent point. This did not come under Fincham's tenure. This is a new day, a new age. And I think the fact that, you know, they've been very secretive in the past, whether it be with suspensions or fines or what a guy did or a fight on the range on the Champions Tour. I mean, a lot of different things that, you know, we've talked about over the years that have been hidden from the public. And the public's not dumb. All the other sports organizations make it public. Like you said, try and use it as a deterrent. Show the kids coming up this is not the route you want to go. So I'm very impressed, not only with the intensifying the testing procedures, but the fact that now they're going to let people know how it goes.
I couldn't agree more, Jay. And along those lines, but not necessarily the same thing, the next announcement that we want to share with the listeners of the Grill Room concerning Tiger. And I guess the thing that makes it different is officially announces. You know, we heard a few weeks back that after the incident that he was going to be seeking professional help. Now he announces that he's currently receiving professional help to manage his medications and ways that he has to deal with the back pain and dealing with a sleep disorder. I should call Tiger up and tell him what I do. I listen to the radio all night because I haven't slept in I don't know how long. But, you know, Tiger's got to sort it out. But I still think, and I would like nothing more, and I think you're in my camp on this one, Jay, like nothing more to see Tiger back out there and competitive. But with what's going on and the amount of time and what he's had to undergo as far as medical services, I'm afraid that we may never see Tiger again on a golf course.
We may not. Maybe this is rock bottom. And you know, you hear that term used for people that have had problems. Maybe he's hit his bottom, and maybe everything now will be a little easier, maybe a little bit more focused, And maybe this is potentially what could be the thing that might trigger him back into the game. But that's, we're a long way from that, like you said, Bob. And that secondary, clearly in his life, he needs to get help. He's seeking assistance. And we all want number, you know, we want him to come back and play, but we want him to be a happy, healthy human being.
And what a segue into Life Goes On. As we finish talking about Tiger, we get an opportunity to talk about Little John, and I'm referring to Little John Daly, made his first hole in one. Don't forget, Vertical Grooves Golf Ambassadors, John Daly, and he was so proud when his son, known as Little John, even though he's not so little anymore, 13 years old and pretty big boy, he recorded his first ever hole-in-one, about a 190-yard hole using a 5-iron. That seems like a chip off the old block to me.
Hope to tell you, 5-iron, 190 at 13? I mean, give me a break. This is fun. It's another side of John, another facet of John. We saw it at the Father and Son Challenge, and I think the kid enjoys it, and it's great to have Vertical Groove Golf Ambassador with a son that's got an ace. The only thing could have been better would it have been about a 250 hole-in-one with a Vertical Groove driver.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
All right, Jay, we mentioned it earlier in the show, but some of our listeners may be just joining us. The announcement just breaking. Phil Mickelson and Jim Bones Mackay are breaking up after a 25-year relationship out on the golf course. And evidently, they're saying it's time for a change. Jay, you've been around this game a long time. It's never the player's fault when it comes to situations like this. If I'm not playing well, got to be my caddy.
It's an unbelievable run. It's one of the longest in the history of the game. And I think that, you know, the two of them having the relationship that they've got, I think it kind of got to a point. I think it's gotten to a point where, you know, when Phil decides not to play the U.S. Open and he's going to cut back his schedule the next couple of years, Bones has got to make a decision. Does he want to get on another bag, or, you know, he's made a ton of money. You know, and he's been out there and, you know, he had operation on his knees. I think this is a kind of a mutual split. What'll be interesting, Bob, is it looks like Tim Mickelson, Phil's brother, is going to be on the bag for Phil the rest of the season. What does Bones do? Does Bones step away, or does he get back on a bag? I mentioned the speculation that they kind of keep it all in Team Mickelson, Team Loy, Team all these guys, and John Rahm picks up Bones Mackay. That would be fascinating.
Well, that's certainly a possibility. I wouldn't blame Jim, and he certainly has been good to us over the years, very accommodating, always would give us whatever we needed. But I don't think it's far-fetched, the scenario with those bad knees, that he limps into the bank and the bank manager goes over his finances and said, Jim, you don't need any more bag. So, and he just goes, and he was quite a good player in his own right. Why not go enjoy himself and play some golf and have fun? I don't know what he's going to do. I mean, obviously, that's going to be up to him. It's not that easy to come up with another bag. You know, he's going to want a top flight player who's out there right now looking for a caddy. We never know. You know, you get fired out there in a heartbeat. So, somebody may fire somebody just for an opportunity of getting, you know, Jim on the bag. Well, we'll have to wait and see. Speaking of getting fired, there's certainly been a lot of rumbling in the golf world about the coverage provided by Fox. I mean, they're just, you know, I think part of my problem, Jay, and I'm going to be honest with our listeners, you know, great relationship with Tommy Roy, who was the executive producer for NBC, Dan Hicks, Johnny Miller. You just got accustomed to those guys doing a U.S. Open, and I think their entire production of a U.S. Open was exceptional. A lot of things about Fox that, you know, I don't like, but, you know, and apparently, Jay, because you alluded to it a little earlier, a lot of people turned off Fox, and their ratings weren't very good.
I couldn't agree with you more on Tommy Roy, who I've known since I was a kid, and they did such a good job, the NBC crew, working with the USGA. And here's the difference, Bob, a main difference. It's not the only difference, but those guys also worked other tournaments. They worked 15 to 18 events on the NBC golf schedule. Fox and their foray into golf, they really only used the elite crew on three major championships. And you and I worked together, and it takes a little time to get a rapport with guys and get a feel for them and know how to play off them. And it seems like you just got all individuals, and poor Joe Buck is stuck there trying to direct it. And you got guys trying to, you know, tell you how great they were when they played. We already know you were great. That's why you're there. I just think it's too much fluff, too many guys. You know, it's irritating. And I agree with you that, you know, NBC kind of set the bar after the incredible job that ABC had done for so long with Jim McKay and the U.S. Open. And we just seem to expect a little more. But I think it does make it much more difficult when you only really do three golf events.
No, I think that's an excellent point, Jay. And two things about the coverage that really surprised me. I felt bad for Darren Clarke because, you know, he's got that heavy Irish accent. And a lot of people had a lot of trouble understanding what he was saying. And Fox's decision to put four people in the booth, you know, I don't know. You know, that seems to get awfully crowded in there. I mean, you and your dad have been, you know, involved in so much television that, you know, you have a good feel for those things, Jay. And the other thing that really amazed me is the sound of the blimp overwhelmed the microphones. I mean, you had to strain to hear anything because the blimp was so noisy, and they never did anything about it.
No, and I think, again, that goes back to your production crew not working together, missing things. There were a lot of mistakes, you know, but I think the listeners should know that, you know, you got to be polished and you got to do it on a regular basis, and that's when you succeed. Golf on television is not easy. But it's easier than Fox makes it look. And I got to tell you, I think there were a lot of people old men having heart attacks over the last 4 days. The U.S. Open, when they saw Holly Saunders doing the interview. I mean, and I'm not taking anything away from this young lady's knowledge of the game, but I mean, if you don't want everybody to talk about how you look, maybe don't wear outfits that accentuate everything you got. I'll just leave it at that. And, you know, Fox may get, you know, maybe the more they do, the better they'll get. But I think it's pretty rough.
Well, when I think of Holly's performance, and I've known her for a long time, when I actually got to know her when she was with Golf Channel, all I say is, you know, she puts up a good front, but she really doesn't get the job done.
Very nicely done. And on that note, last week we promised we'd preview the exciting Lincoln Land Charity Championship. So right after the break, we'll do just that.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
Make Coolbrella the next purchase for your golf bag. The Coolbrella is instant portable shade. It's an umbrella that reflects the sun, offering portable, effective protection from the sun. Whether playing or spectating, the Coolbrella protects from the harsh rays of the sun while providing a cool, comfortable shade. For more information on the perfect gift for you or any golfer, log on to Coolbrella.com. That's Coolbrella.com. Coolbrella, instant shade and all-weather comfort.
Welcome back to The Grill Room.
Welcome back to The Grill Room, and it's here. It's time. It's the Lincoln Land Charity Championship. a web.com event played on the Panther Creek Country Club course in Springfield, Illinois. And what a great field they have.
Boy, they really do, Bob. I'm excited. We've given away probably about 30 tickets out at Normandy. On Monday, my friends with the Gateway PGA section conducted the qualifiers here in St. Louis at Gateway National Golf Links and also at Crystal Springs Quarry. And players advanced. And I'm looking at the field, and you got to be excited when Jason Gore is there. You've got Jonathan Bird, Scott Langley, who starred at the University of Illinois, playing now in his home state, a guy that had tour status for a number of years, has lost it, and is presently 40th on the money list, on the web.com money list. You've got DJ Brigman in the field, Luke Guthrie, another kid from Illinois, Edward Lohr, who played in a tournament here in St. Louis last week, the Metropolitan Open, and finished third there. Just a solid field of guys that have either played on the PGA Tour or you look at a guy like Eric Axley, who's in the field. He played on the PGA Tour. And then you got young players trying to make their way onto the PGA Tour. It's a really good mix. Panther Creek is an outstanding test for these folks. And I mentioned the Gateway PGA section. They're going to have a junior clinic followed by a player autograph session to the LRS Pro-Am. They've also got all kind of different things with Michelob Ultra and the sports bar. Don't forget to watch 156 of the best golfers on the web.com tour. It's the path to the PGA Tour, and this year it's going through the Lincoln Land Charity Championship in Springfield, Illinois. I'm excited about it.
Yeah, it's one of the premier events on the web.com tour, and the people behind this event are really working hard, and they're going to deliver a first-class product. They want this event to evolve over the next 5-10 years as to maybe being the benchmark for any event on the web.com tour.
Yeah, it's great to see the way they've gotten the charities involved, and I think the players are really going to be treated fantastic this week. And I mentioned the qualifiers. They were big fields here in St. Louis. A lot of people, you know, people don't realize, Bob, how difficult it is to have status on, you know, obviously the PGA Tour, but now it's become so difficult on the web.com tour, and now that it's kind of replaced tour school, you know, it's in high demand to have a spot out there.
And if you're going out there, here's a tip for you. Look for the Audi Green Putting Challenge. You may come away with something that would look mighty good in your driveway. And also to the Capital City Cornholder Games, to the Michelob Ultra Sports Bar. Man, it sounds like fun out there. Boy, Jay, maybe you and I may have to make a trip to that Lincoln Land Charity Championship.
If I didn't have to work this weekend at Normandy, I think I'd go. Maybe next year we got something on our bucket list. The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, wants to wish everyone playing in the Lincoln Land Charity Championship the best of luck on their quest to play on the PGA Tour. And we want to thank the Lincoln Land Charity Championship for giving them the opportunity. Be sure to follow all the action this week on Facebook at Lincoln Land Charity Championship and on Twitter at Lincoln Land Golf. Remember, charity is the big winner. Well, now you're up to date on what's going on around the world of golf. That's it for this week. You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf.
So on behalf of our executive producer, Janice Self, Jay Randolph Jr., and myself, Bob Bubka, big thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. Please follow us on Twitter at TGRGolf. Of course, you can like us and follow us on Facebook and on Instagram at The Grill Room Golf Show.
Thanks for spending some time in The Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room.